This is the Superhuman Channel. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned during the first half hour. We've got science for humans. Dr. Jeff is going to come and lay down some science for building huge forearms and calves. This is an area that everybody seems to need some help with. Then we're going to change it up during Physical Culture Radio. We'll be joined by Brooks Kubik to talk about the best measure of strength and power. What is it? Is it strongman movements? Is it powerlifting? Is it Olympic lifting? What really is the best test of how strong and how powerful you really are? Then in the last half hour of the show, Dr. David Urquhart's going to join us all the way from the UK to talk about Botox for knee pain. Yes, you heard it. Not for wrinkles, not for cosmetic reasons, for knee pain. So all those topics will be covered on today's show. Just want to remind everybody that Thrive Protein is available, and the reviews are coming back that people love it. They not only love the taste, they love the fact that it doesn't give them gas or bloating feeling. Many people thought they were off protein powder forever because they couldn't deal with it. It turns out it wasn't them. It was their protein powder. They're thriving with Thrive. Are you confused about which artificial sweeteners are safe? So are we. That's why there are zero artificial sweeteners in Thrive Advance. Thrive Advance is sweetened with a proprietary blend of glycine, monk fruit, stevia, and erythritol. All natural. No offensive or questionable sweeteners ever. So drink your Thrive Advance without artificial sweetener anxiety and save 50% off using the coupon code ArnoldClassic, all one word. Go to Thrive Protein, T-H-R-I-V, protein.com today to join the Thrive Revolution.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J, Supplement Santa. You realize that people are actually calling you Supplement Santa on Facebook now?
I know they are, man.
How funny is that?
You started that one, Carl.
I mean, it's hilarious. People just like, hey, Dr. J, got my box of goodies. Thank you, Supplement Santa.
Yeah, I love it, man.
It's funny.
Oh, boy. And I love that Thrive, too, man. I just got done having some. So thanks for that little intro so I could finish my glass here.
Yeah, I love this stuff. Hey, Dr. J, this topic today is something that all trainees can benefit from, because no matter who you are, people don't naturally get their calves and forearms to grow just from doing the traditional work that they think they need to do.
Correct.
This question actually came from, I'm sorry, I put my laptop down. This question actually came from, you know what, I'm going to have to read it during the next break because I'll find his name here. But anyway,
I've got it here. It's Matt from Detroit, Michigan.
Thank you. Thank you for saving me. And so,
not a problem. That's what I'm here for, you know?
All right. So Matt's saying, look, you know, what do you do for calves? You had huge calves. You had huge forearms. In fact, back in the day when you were a professional bodybuilder, wasn't there a ratio that your forearms and your calves were supposed to be almost the same size around?
Yeah, they were. And, you know, my problem was every time I did forearms, my calves would grow.
You and Mike Metzer. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Exactly. I told you that earlier.
Yeah,
you know, and they're very stubborn body parts, so to say, for people and even, you know, seasoned athletes. And what people fail to realize, think about it. You know, you are on your legs all day long and those calves are getting a work. So you take your body weight times, you know, this is some physics, you know, some percentage of force, and you're talking about hundreds of pounds are pounding those calves every day. So if you go into the gym, like I see some of these guys that talk about they can't grow calves, and they put one plate on a calf machine, how is your calves going to grow with 45 pounds?
Great point. And this is exactly the same situation with your forearms too. These muscle groups are used to a lot of work. So how do you trip the scale?
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk about calves first, because I used to love training calves. And they're all types of exercises. But it isn't the exercise that's so important. It's the fact on how you do it, Carl. You know, you got to, first of all, you got to put some weight on there. Like I said, you know, your calves are getting bombed all day long. You got to load up. You got to be intense. You got to think about the calf. Don't be bending your knees. So I always like to start with standing calf raises. Nowadays, we have machines. Back in the old days, we call them donkey calf raises, where, you know, someone would have to sit on your back because there just wasn't enough weight. Get a couple guys, actually. But standing calf raises, once you warm up those calves, load up the weight. I mean, get 400 or 500 pounds. I mean, whatever you can handle on your shoulders. Now, the key is your knees need to not bend. It's not a squat movement. And you've got to get a full range of motion, meaning that, you know, you've got to be on some type of a board or a platform that is above the ground, because you have to be able to come all the way down, bending your toes to get that full extension on that calf. And then you've got to go all the way up. You got to squeeze at the top. I mean, you got to be thinking about that calf muscle. Something called psychocybergenics. You know, you got to visualize what you want that to look like. Do you want it to look like a grape, or do you want a big old cantaloupe, or, you know, watermelon on there? But you gotta squeeze and be intense. And the other thing is, don't be afraid of reps. You gotta go till failure. You can't just do, you know, the normal 10 reps or something. I mean, you gotta do 25, 35, but you gotta have enough weight on there to really hammer them. So that's kind of the secret before we even get into talking about the different exercises.
So what about frequency of training calves? If calves are used to taking this unreal pounding day in and day out, just rudimentary normally, then should you be training your calves every single day if you want your calves to grow?
No, you know, I think that's too much. I usually recommend, if you do them right, you know, 2 times a week is sufficient. I always did my calves only on leg day. I didn't do them any time else, because again, if you're going to hit them properly, you got to give some time to rest. And yes, you're on your calves, and you know you're working. I don't think you need to do it every day.
Okay, now do you want to continue to talk about how to train your calves, or you want to talk about the forearms before we go into training styles?
Let me give a couple other points on the calves here.
Okay.
So here's a little secret I learned a long time ago. I don't remember where I got it from, if it was Arnold or Lou or somebody, but when you're doing your calves, and again, I always do about 5 sets on the standing and then 5 sets on the seated. But you take your feet, and the first set, they will be parallel together. The next set, you will point your toes in. The third set, you will point your toes out, and then you'll just kind of rotate back and forth. And what you'll find is that will give you more emphasis on the inner calf and outer calves. So if you're looking for that big, full calf, a lot of times, you know, some guys will have a big inner calf because naturally, you know, your feet typically want to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have to force them to go in to get that outside of that calf.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of my basic calf fundamentals for growing. And guaranteed, they will grow if you put enough weight on them and you really work them and concentrate. Just don't make it an afterthought. Oh, I got to do some calves. Let me throw a plate on and go through the motions.
And the seated calf raise generally hits the soleus more than the gastroc, the standing calf raises. So that's why it's important, as you pointed out, to keep your knees locked out and don't break your knees. Don't bend your knees when you're doing standing, or you're turning it into a seated movement.
Absolutely. And don't put so much weight on there that you can only move an inch. When I'm talking about full range of motion, I mean, like a ballerina, you are all the way up on your toes, and there is no way, no more for your calf to. That's how you build a calf, not just moving 1 or 2 inches.
Okay. What other calf tricks can you give us?
Those are my secrets. If you do those, you will have huge calves guaranteed. I do have one other secret. I'll try to explain this. In between sets, let's say if you are on a standing calf machine, and typically there is a board that's above ground, you turn around and you put your heel on the back of that board, and you just kind of grab around behind you. and you now go down with your toe to the ground and you come up and squeeze, this will help that swoop on the bottom of your calf. A lot of times guys have, they get to the bottom and their calves just flatten out. Well, this was something that helped me not only stretch my calves, but helped me to get that rounded swoops. I had a nice rounded big old, like I said, big old cantaloupe sitting there.
So you actually put your heel on the board. You've got the weight on your shoulders. You put your heel on the board.
Now you just turn around and you're just reverse. Instead of having your toe going backwards, you now have your heel and your toe is going down the ground and you're extending your toe back up.
Interesting. And does that also work the front compartment of the lower leg there, that front muscle that runs up along the shin bone?
I think so. It's just an interesting movement, and if you've never done it, which most people haven't, when I show somebody, they go, "My goodness, I can feel that more than anything." Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I've discovered personally, and we've talked about this on the show a couple years ago, is that if you incorporate a static into this type of training that you're talking about, so let's say you do your sets, and the very, very last set, you get up into that top position and you hold that squeezed position until you fail. Yep. That actually will help stimulate growth too, because as you pointed out, you've got to give your calves something different than they're used to day in and day out. They're used to reps. What they're not used to is static holds. And if you start using the occasional static, you'll find your calves will respond too. And it is painful as heck.
Well, it is. And another thing, we didn't talk about pace. So, you know, I'll do about 10 or 15, just like a normal pace, and then I will go fast. Huh. I mean, I will try to go and do shocking and then get to the end, like you said, and just hold it at the top until you can hold no longer.
Okay. Now, the forearms and the calves are very similar. Do you do this? Is it the same idea with the forearms as far as training them?
Yeah, the same concept is, again, you got to get a full range of motion, but this is where I think that is lost, because there are no forearm machines like there are calf machines. So people do not know how to do forearms. What I see everybody doing these days is what we used to call hammer curls, and they're really a bad form standing bicep curl. They turn their hand sideways, but they're rocking with their shoulders. They got their legs. You're not building forearms any more than you're building forearms just holding on to dumbbell and keeping the hand straight.
Right.
So here's what you got to do if you want forearms. You've got a couple parts now. You've got the bottom and the top part, as they say. So to get that bottom, that big rounded forearm, you see these guys, and like I used to have, you can either do it with a dumbbell or a barbell. So a dumbbell, you're going to get on two knees and you're going to put your wrist over the back of the bench, and you're going to put the dumbbell in your hand, again, as much as you can handle. You're going to lower it all the way down, and you're actually going to let it drop, your fingers drop a little bit, and then you're going to come all the way back up as much as possible and squeeze at both ends. So it's a really controlled motion, good stretch down, squeeze up, and five sets to failure.
How important is that portion of the movement that you just pointed out? I don't think anybody's ever talked about, but allowing the hand to slightly unwrap and then forcing the fingers to pull the dumbbell back into the palm as you start to raise it, that builds those grip muscles which make up the mass of the upper forearm, right?
Absolutely. I mean, again, you know, you're gripping things and your forearms are working any type of upper body exercise. So again, you got to increase the range of motion. So by slightly letting your fingers drop, you are working muscles that you've never worked before. And again, you will grow. You can do the same thing with a barbell. The difference is now I would sit on a bench and I would let my wrists hang over my knees. It's a little tough sometimes with two hands and a barbell on a bench.
Right.
Because normally, but I like to do them singular for that, because again, you know, each arm needs to have its own concentration. Now, here's a little secret. That's usually where most people, if they've seen something, will stop. Now, you want to build the upper part of that forearm. Is you now reverse your hand over?
I was just going to ask you that.
Now, Yep. Now, this one I like to use a barbell for because it's a little tricky with doing it with a dumbbell because your arm wants to raise off the bench. Now, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to go down. Palms are now down
right.
And you're going to come all the way up. Now, I would like to superset these. I would do one set of reverse, and then I would do one set the opposite way. And again, squeezing at the top, I don't think I ever used more on that backside than maybe 50 pounds because that's a muscle that you normally aren't using, and this is the way that you can really concentrate. But again, it just gives you that big, thick, beautiful-looking forearm.
I want to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, I want to ask you questions about using statics for forearms, too, as a finishing movement. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Galini. This is Science for Humans, and today we're discussing the science behind building huge, freaky calves and huge, freaky forearms. A lot of bodybuilders today don't have these two qualities. I don't think it's genetic. I think it's not training these body parts in a way that stimulates growth, and that's what we're talking about today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin. Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils, high-end CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop. Shop for all things hemp on the web.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or Predator Nutrition.
SuperHuman.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Gallini. Founder and scientific brain behind All American Pharmaceutical and the EFX product line. You can learn all about their products by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking one of the EFX banner ads today. Or go down to the bottom right-hand side and ask Dr. Jeff, who is affectionately known around Facebook as Supplement Santa, to send you some samples of stuff. And he'll send you the most amazing box of goodies. You won't believe it. You'll be like, oh, my God, I just asked for some samples. Most companies send you something in a number 10 envelope. I just got a box of stuff from Dr. Jeff. So check that out. Anyway, so one of the things that's made my forearms grow was when I started to do heavy deadlifts, I noticed that my forearms responded well. So I incorporated in not necessarily farmer's walks, but I'll grab two 140-pound dumbbells and stand with them at my sides for as long as I can until my hands unwrap, and I'll drop them, and I'll do that again and again and again, and I get the most insane forearm pump, and there's no reps, nothing. I'm just holding on to those dumbbells. What do you think of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's like doing a deadlift. I mean, you know, where you have to grip something for several seconds. You got to shock it. You got to change it up. You know, you don't do the same thing day in and day out. So any of that type of stuff, you know, again, any type of time you're gripping something, you know, you're working those muscles. So that's a great one.
So what do you, don't you think that your beginnings as a power lifter influenced your calves and your forearms to the degree where the average guy who comes into bodybuilding doesn't start out as a power lifter? And he doesn't have the calf and forearm development. Do you think that being a power lifter kind of stimulates those two muscle groups because of you're handling such heavy weight? And as you point out, you know, like in the deadlift, you're holding on to that bar for dear life. You're not thinking about your forearms, but man, they're getting a workout. And the same thing with squatting and deadlifting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I was powerlifting, I never worked my forearms, and I always used an underhand, overhand grip.
Right.
But I worked my calves because, again, you know, that's important part of squatting. Even to the point when I got into bodybuilding, I continued to do deadlifts. But what I found is when I started to train my forearms, my forearms were getting lopsided because I was using an underhand grip.
Yeah.
So I went to an all overhand grip. So them equally. So that just kind of shows you, just from deadlifts, incorporating some forearm movement, you know, how they can grow. But yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, again, you know, they get in bodybuilding and they want to do arms. How many guys do you see in the gym that have got some nice arms and then it just goes down?
Yeah.
They always wear sweatpants because they got no legs or calves.
Right.
But again, you know, the physique should be, you know, symmetrical. I mean, back in my days, it was all about symmetry, you know, how you presented. It wasn't just, you know, having big shoulders and arms and legs. You know, I mean, you had to be symmetrical. So I think, again, you know, it just adds to a pretty physique, you know, finishing it off with calves. Nothing worse than, you know, you seeing somebody with some nice legs and they just literally have some little chicken calves down there.
Yeah. It looks like a guy riding a chicken. That's what we always say. What about guys who use straps for everything? They have a back workout, and they're using the straps on everything, machine movements, anything that they're doing pulling-wise, they're using straps. Isn't that going to hurt forearm development?
You know, a little bit. I mean, I always use straps when I trained, not when I powerlifted, because, you know, you couldn't use them. But when I got into bodybuilding and I was trying to hold on to things longer where lifting just dropped the bar. You know, you weren't so concerned sometimes about form and some of your accessory exercises. But maybe that's why I had to actually do the forearm exercises where, you know, maybe if I didn't use straps, I would get more of a forearm workout. But for me, it just helped me to handle more weight and to manage it in a more controlled manner.
When I started to really care about what my forearms looked like, I actually stopped using straps completely, which meant that I had to actually back down a little bit on the weight I was using and let my forearms catch up to my back strength. Now, I haven't used straps in a long, long time, and I'll only use them on the rare occasion if I'm going to go ahead and deadlift, and I feel like just the psychology of having those straps makes me a little more confident to focus on the actual execution and form of the movement. But other than that, I have avoided using straps at all costs because I can't help but think that if your forearms gas out before your back does in a rowing movement, then you have a goal. You have a new goal to make your forearms as strong as your back, and that's going to cause them to get bigger.
Well, exactly. And, you know, there is even workouts when, you know, again, as a bodybuilder, you look in the mirror and you go, oh, man, I need to work a little harder. So I would do my forearms first. And, you know, most people would go, oh, no, then, you know, I'm not going to have a good bicep. Well, why not? I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter what part you train first. You know, the first part is where you're going to be the freshest. So if you're weak in something, you should train that part first.
Well, and you're exactly right. And I'll tell you something that's funny. So back in the day, we used to think that if you pre-exhausted your pecs, and I'm sorry, pre-exhausted your triceps before doing bench presses, that it would force your pecs to work harder and the result would be greater pec development. What we learned was it was exactly the opposite. Your triceps got bigger because you were doing a higher volume of work and forcing them to work harder. So if you want your forearms to grow, pre-exhaust them before you do a movement that requires you to hold on.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you're going to put more emphasis on that muscle. I remember even riding the bike 5 hour or, you know, 5 miles to the gym or running and then doing squats.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's all mental. You know, I mean, you just have to understand again, if bodybuilder, you got weak parts, you'd better do those first and you'd better really concentrate on it. The problem is most people like to show off and do the parts that they're strong in.
Right.
And then they get all excited, you know.
Yeah, it is funny. Everybody wants to do what they look the best doing and what they feel the strongest doing. So that's why I used to say the movements you're avoiding the most, those are the ones that you should be doing. There's a reason you're avoiding them.
Yeah, exactly. And don't hide those weak parts. You know, if you got weak calves, then, you know, wear shorts.
Yeah, that'll force you to train them.
Yeah, don't wear long sleeves. I mean, you know, again, if you can see those, you'll be able to see what's growing. You got to be able to look at yourself while you're training. That's why there's mirrors up, you know, to be able to see what you're doing.
If you have a weak body part and you don't like it, don't hide it. Keep it out there and keep reminding yourself to train harder next time you're in the gym to overcome that weakness. Dr. J, great information here. I expect everybody in the audience to have bigger calves and bigger forearms as a result of this show.
That's right. And remember, follow me on Dr. Jeff Galini, and you can always go to superhuman.com. Ask the scientists. Love answering your questions.
Yes. So please send in questions. Like you see here from Matt from Detroit, right? Was that where he's from? Or Michigan, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Matt got his questions answered, and you can get your question answered too. All right, Dr. J, thanks a lot, brother.
All right, take care.
All right, talk to you later. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Brooks Kubik as we talk about what is the best way to measure how strong and how powerful you really are. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com LYN.com/CARBGUIDE.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Bust the move. Most of you are way too young to know who Young MC is, but I'm not. All right. Well, wait a minute. What am I doing here? Let's just roll this music.
You're listening to Physical Culture Radio, home of dinosaur training. Now, here's the keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Kubik.
Brooks Kubik, which, by the way, Brooks and I made a list yesterday. Did you see the list that we made of the 100 strongest coaches that you should listen to in 2016?
Well, we didn't make the list, but we were...
We didn't make the list. We didn't create the list. We were on the list. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, both of us. That was pretty cool. So they've got the listeners have 2 out of the top 100 on this one podcast.
That's one podcast cool. Right here. All you need to do is listen to this show. Okay, so we have to discuss the genesis of why we're doing this today. So you actually put a question to your subscriber base and said, look, you know, what do you think the greatest measure of strength and power? These are vastly different things. What's the best way to measure that in an individual? And you got all sorts of responses, right?
Yeah, I really did. And it was very interesting. The way that I phrased the question was, we're not talking about your favorite exercise. you know, I'm not looking for, I like squats or I like deadlifts or whatever. We're not even looking for the best exercise to build strength and power. Although it may be that the best exercise to demonstrate or measure or test strength and power is also the best exercise to build strength and power. But that wasn't the question. The question was, what do you believe is the single best measure or best test of strength and power? And I deliberately used strength and power together because I wanted people to have to think, is there a difference between strength and power? So that, and that's part of what I think we'll probably get into a little bit later in the show. So I got, as you might imagine, all kinds of responses. I mean, it was just fascinating.
Did most people confuse strength and power or blend them together and think strength and power measurements were exactly the same? Or did most people understand the difference between what strength and what power is?
I think most people read the email a little too early in the morning before their coffee kicked in. And so most people didn't catch that little twist. Some people did. And some people responded kind of in detail, you know, by saying, well, you know, there's a difference. And so this is the best measure of strength and this is the best measure of power. But most people tended to go for one lift or event or one something, one measure of strength and power combined. So that was a little bit surprising, but it was a bit of a trick question in that regard.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the responses that you actually got. So, do you want to discuss what, maybe you should set the stage now and discuss the difference between strength and power and even some of the old-time illustrations you explained to me that we used to get it, but it's kind of all blended together now.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, the funny thing is that powerlifting is a measure of strength.
And not power.
Weightlifting is a measure of not only strength, but power.
So, and the logic behind that is that brute strength is something different than power because power takes into the equation the speed in which you move the weight, right?
Absolutely. Power is strength times speed. And if you want to be a little more technical, it's strength times speed times distance.
Right.
So, you know, if you think about it, a snatch or a clean or a jerk, all of these movements, which are Olympic weightlifting movements, require tremendous strength to perform with heavy weights. But they're not performed slow. They're performed with lightning speed.
Right.
Incredibly fast. And for that reason, you generate more force in those movements than in any other human activities that have been measured. Powerlifting, on the other hand, the squat, the deadlift, the bench press, involve perhaps heavier weights, but much slower speeds of movement. And the distance that you move the bar is not as great in a powerlifting style squat, a deadlift, or a bench press.
Right.
You know, the distance is much less. And with some lifters, with heavyweight lifters, for example, someone with an enormous 58 or 60 inch or more chest, you know, the bench press is a relatively short range movement.
Right.
For someone with short legs, huge body, huge hips, huge thighs, powerlifting style squat can almost be a, you know, again, almost a short range movement.
Right.
Whereas a snatch, the weight goes from the platform all the way to arm's length overhead. So the distance is a maximal distance.
Right.
So those two are different. And, you know, you and I were talking about this morning, and I noted that when powerlifting originated in the late 50s and early 60s, in the UK, they called the lifts the strength set. So you had weightlifting on the one hand, which people recognized was more of a test of power.
Right, what we consider Olympic lifting today.
Yes, Olympic weightlifting is your power sport. And in the UK, they differentiated by saying that what we now call powerlifting was the strength set, because they recognized that it was a measure of strength much more than a measure of power.
Right.
And the other interesting thing is that when powerlifting originated, they didn't do the deadlift. They did the squat, the bench press, and the curl. And that's really kind of mind-boggling, because you would think that the curl is an unusual choice if you're trying to measure all-around total body strength.
Right.
It's also an exercise that's extremely hard to judge, you know, because this is a strict curl, not a cheat curl. So if there's any back bend, the lifter's disqualified. So then the question becomes, you know, how much is too much? And you have the same problems with back bend that you had with the press when the press was part of Olympic weightlifting, which eventually led to the press being taken out of competition in 1972 because the judging had just become impossible. So they replaced the curl with the deadlift, which people, I think by and large, most people, there are some exceptions, but there, you know, I think most people would agree that the squat, deadlift, and bench press are a much better all-around test of strength than having the curl as one of the three power lifts.
Yeah, absolutely. But now, how many of the people that you posed the question to got that? And how many of them just gave you examples of strength for their measure of power, or their example of power for their measure of strength?
A couple of readers spoke to the issue directly in their responses. The majority of readers did not take that factor into account. And they ended up, I think the majority of people probably ended up with a measure of strength as opposed to a measure of power. But I have to qualify that a little bit by saying that many readers thought that some kind of overhead lift, be it a clean and press, clean and push press, clean and jerk, barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells, sandbags, barrels, log bars, other heavy awkward objects, constituted the best test of strength. And so what they were focusing on was stand on your feet strength.
Right. But really power. When I listen to you describe the difference between power and strength, I can't help but come back to early science classes in grammar school where they discussed voltage and amperage. And strength is to voltage what power is to amperage. So you have 1,000 volts coming out of one of those static generators, and you can have what appears to be a lightning bolt arc from the electrode to your hand, and it's got 1,000 volts, and it basically just makes your hair stand up. But now it has zero amperage. Now you add amperage to that, and all of a sudden, it blows you across the room. And so that is power. And the voltage is just pure strength.
Well, that's true. But the interesting thing is that if people are choosing the clean and press, the clean has an element of power. Mm-hmm. And the press, the military press, is more of a slow strength lift.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, if you go with the clean and jerk, it's more of a test of power as well as strength. But if you then say, don't care what you use, it can be a sandbag, or it can be a barbell, or it can be a log or a rock or whatever, Now you're going back more to a brute strength overhead lift as opposed to a more technically precise, highly skilled, powerful, speedy movement performed with an Olympic barbell.
Gotcha.
So it was very interesting.
Okay, what I want to do is take a break. And when we come back, we'll start to read some of the responses you got.
Okay?
And we'll start speaking to those. We're talking with my co-host, Brooks Kubik. This is Physical Culture Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN Radio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building and physical culture information, read Brooks Kubik's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksKubik.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Kubik's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Kubik's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksKubik.com right now.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
L. Biv DeVoe. None of you remember that group either, but I do. I'm old, Brooks. Did you know that?
You're younger than me, so I'm not going to agree with that.
Okay. All right. You're right. You're right. All right. So let's start off with some of the responses you got from your readers when this question of the greatest measure of strength and power was posed.
Okay. Well, here's one reader, Kirk, and he illustrated the point that I just made before. He said, I'd have to go with anything from the floor to above head. Snatch, clean and press, or push press, or jerk, arm straight at the finish, single arm, and double. The bent press is a worthy contender too. Any implement, barbell, dumbbells, kettlebell, sandbag, keg, rock, log, odd objects, etc. So that was his choice. And that illustrates some of the points that we were just talking about. The snatch is more of a test of power, particularly if you perform it with an Olympic barbell.
Mm-hmm.
If you perform it with a sandbag, then it becomes more of a strength lift because you're not going to move as fast or as smoothly. A clean and press is a test of power on the clean and strength on the press. A clean and jerk is more of a test of power both in the clean and in the jerk. But again, if you perform them with a sandbag, a keg, a rock, or a log, it becomes more of a test of brute strength. So, you know, you have kind of an interesting thing there. By the way, did you know how they used to test strength back in England 150 years ago, 200 years ago?
No, how?
Well, you know, this was back in the day when most people were manual laborers or farmers. They would take 100-pound bags of potatoes.
And make you eat them.
No. Make you perform a snatch with them.
Really?
And heave them over your head as far as you could throw them.
So you would have to grab the bag, I guess, on either end, so it was, mm-hmm. and take it from the ground to overhead. So
yeah,
that required some amazing grip.
But you'd let go and actually throw it behind you.
Right.
Which I've always wondered, why not do a 100-pound bag of wheat or flour or something so that you're not ruining 100 pounds of potatoes? But maybe back in the day they had enough potatoes and they didn't worry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Kirk was really focusing on the stand on your feet aspect of the strength test.
Now, you have courses for people who want to go in that direction, right?
Well, the best, in my opinion, the best stand on your feet basic strength exercise is the military press. And I've got a military press course that's available at my website in hard copy or on Kindle as a Kindle book. And that, you know, that teaches people how to build what I call good old fashioned stand on your feet strength. Now, Kirk also mentioned the bent press. And the bent press.
Wait. Are you saying B-E-N-T or B-E-N-C-H?
No. B-E-N-T.
That's what I thought. It's a movement that's not done very frequently any longer.
No, and most people who do it nowadays do it as part of their kettlebell training. They do windmills and they do the bent press as part, you know, in repetition form as part of a kettlebell exercise. But in the old days, people would do the bent press often with barbells, often with very, very long dumbbells. You know, sometimes the dumbbells were 3 or 4 feet long, which almost makes them a small barbell. But it's a one-hand lift where you wrestle the weight up to your shoulders. You have it in one hand at the shoulder, and you lean over very slowly, bend to the side, squat down, push up against the weight, and you're not really lifting the weight. You're just keeping it in position as you lower your body underneath it until your arm is locked. And at that point, you're squatting under the weight, weight's at arm's length overhead, and then you stand up with it. It's a very slow, precise movement. The old timer sometimes would take 20 to 30 seconds to perform one rep. So that's not a power lift. That's not a test of power.
Right.
But it's a tremendous test of brute strength. The best resource for that, if you're interested in that, Sig Klein did a book on the bent press. A strong man named Harold Ansorge did a book on the bent press. Arthur Saxon covered it in his courses. And our friend, who's actually been on the show with us, Bill Hinburn, sells those at his super strength training website. So that's, you know, that's the best resource for the bent press. I don't do it because I do not have the right body proportions for that lift. And because of shoulder injuries I sustained in high school as a wrestler, I've never wanted to mess with that heavy weight, kind of putting my shoulder and arm at an angle with a heavy weight as I bend over. That could potentially be disastrous for me. So I don't do it.
The picture that I use for today's show is Paul Anderson. I don't know whether he was doing a clean and jerk or a clean and press, but that looks like well over 420 or 430 pounds. Am I right about that, or is it even more than that?
Well, it's 405 pounds counting the bar and the thick old-fashioned iron 45-pound plates. And then there are two smaller plates, one on each end of the bar. I think those are 10s, which would make it 425.
Yeah, okay. Now, because you said you asked for people to tell you when that was, where it was, and how much weight it was. So it's about 425.
Mm-hmm.
And where was that picture taken?
The location is the weight pit at Muscle Beach, California.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. That's the original old-time Muscle Beach. And it happened in, it was either 56, 57, 58, mm-hmm. I believe. And the interesting thing about that photo, that day that Paul Anderson went to Muscle Beach and just wowed everybody with tremendous lifting at Muscle Beach. The interesting thing about that is a man named Bob Green, who was a regular writer for Iron Man magazine back in the 70s and I think the early 80s, but I know I read his articles in the 70s. He was from that part of the country and he grew up hanging around the beach. And he wrote an article about how one day when he was a kid, like 9 or 10 years old, he and his buddies were playing at the beach. And one of the guys went off to buy hot dogs for the group. And he didn't come back for a while. And, you know, they're all like, you know, hey, where is he, man? You know, he took our money. He went to buy food for everybody. And now he's gone, you know, and I'm hungry. I want my hot dog. So they go looking for him. And he's off in the distance, just standing, watching, watching something that's happening, part of a big crowd. And, you know, and they run over like, you know, where's our food? And he says, forget about the food. Watch this guy. Well, and they watched this guy who was like the biggest, most massive, strongest human being that these kids had ever seen. Remember, they're like 9 or 10 years old.
Right.
And that got Bob Green interested in strength training and bodybuilding. And, you know, he ended up co-owning or at least working at one of the well-known gyms out there back in the day. You know, training with top, bodybuilders, writing for Iron Man. You know, he really was heavily involved in it. And it all started from that date at Muscle Beach.
And it was Paul Anderson that he was watching.
Yes, but he didn't know it.
Right.
At the time. He had no idea who it was. Just, he thought, oh my God, look at this guy. And years later, he saw that photo in a magazine and all of a sudden he said, oh, holy mackerel. I was there.
Wow.
I saw that. And it's like, you know, the whole thing just, you know, came flooding back to him and he realized exactly who and what he had witnessed. And I've got, one of my longtime readers, was there that day.
Really?
Yes. And we corresponded about that. I believe that was the day that Isaac Berger, the Olympic gold medalist at 132 pounds in weightlifting in 1956, and a medalist, silver medalist in 1960 and bronze medalist in the Tokyo Olympics in 64. I believe that that was the day that Isaac Berger, who trained at Muscle Beach, I believe that that was the day that he and Paul Anderson had their military press contest. And the contest was to see how many reps 132-pound lifter Isaac Berger could do with 200 pounds and match that against Paul Anderson weighing almost 400 pounds doing 400 pounds.
Doing how much? How much? How much?
400 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So you've got little Isaac Berger who, you know, not trying to make weight for competition, may have weighed 135 or 140, but, you know, that was about it. Doing 200 pounds for reps. And Anderson doing 400 for reps. And the contest is to see who can do the most. And I know that that's a true story because I've heard it from Isaac Berger. I've heard it from my reader who witnessed it and heard it from Frank Spellman, who was the Olympic gold medalist in 1948 in the 165 pound class. And I think he also was there on this day that Paul Anderson was at Muscle Beach.
How many reps did Paul Anderson do with 400 pounds?
The exact same number that Isaac Berger did with 200 pounds.
That's insane.
Do you know how many reps?
No, how many?
10.
Oh my God, 10 military presses. We're talking about strict military press with 400 pounds overhead, 10 reps.
Well, in fairness, it was an Olympic press.
Okay.
So it had some degree of knee kick,
leg,
back,
yeah,
bend,
yeah, leg drive,
back, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, leg drive, yeah.
But you're still Berger at 140 is doing 200 for 10 reps. Anderson at close to 400 pounds is doing 400 for 10 reps. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. That's
just
astonishing.
Literally superhuman. I mean, you know, that's the name of the show, right? Superhuman Radio.
Paul Anderson was definitely superhuman. He was amazing. I mean, he broke all sorts of ground that I want to talk about this. So I want to take our break.
Okay.
When we come back at the top of the hour, let's talk about some of the other responses you got, and we'll talk more about Paul Anderson, and you're listening to Physical Culture Radio. If you want to learn more about Brooks Cubic, you want to learn how to be strong. Very few people can teach you how to be strong the way Brooks Cubic can. His website is BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com. You can also go to Kindle, Amazon, in their Kindle section, find a whole bunch of ebooks to download and be stronger tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. 866. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Can-See Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle Bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Are you confused about which artificial sweeteners are safe? Well, so are we. That's why there is zero artificial sweeteners in Thrive Advanced. Thrive Advanced is sweetened with a proprietary blend of glycine, monk fruit, stevia, and just a touch of erythritol. All natural, no offensive or questionable sweeteners ever. So drink your Thrive Advanced without the artificial sweetener anxiety that you get from other protein powders. Save 50% off using the coupon code ArnoldClassic, all one word. Go to Thrive, ThriveProtein.com. What's in your protein powder? We're talking with my co-host Brooks Cubic right now. This is Physical Culture Radio. And we're talking about what is the best way to measure strength and power, and they're vastly different things. Brooks, does anybody, I'm looking for world record clean and press, and the only thing I can find is from back in the 70s, Vasily Alexeyev, doing a clean and press with 236 kilos, 521 pounds. I see plenty of world records in the snatch and clean and jerk. Do they not do the clean and press anymore?
No, they stopped doing it in 1972 or 1973.
Why? It seems to me that that would be a greater test of power and strength than the clean and jerk, which, you know, I mean, pressing that weight from the shoulders up is really, you got to man it.
Well, couple of things. You're thinking more of the military press. The clean and military press, and the press component of that is a test of sheer strength.
Right.
It's just pushing power, pressing power.
But the first part of getting, cleaning it to your shoulders would be an example of power, right?
Right. But it's not maximum power because you can clean a lot more than you can press.
Ah, good point.
But what happened was, over time, the rules in judging the press, the officiating, became much more relaxed. And so you eventually had people using knee kick, bending backwards, you had people, you know, slumping forward and then boom, exploding, pushing up, you know, with their torsos. And the back then was so bad that people would joke about the press had become the standing bench press.
Okay. Standing bench press.
And one thing that was, that makes this readily apparent was that back in the day, the single best exercise, according to many trainees, for the military press was the 45-degree incline press.
That makes sense.
Okay, because the angle of the 45-degree incline press was the same as the angle in the standing Olympic press.
Right.
Okay. So all of those factors eventually made people think, you know, it's so hard to judge this lift. It's not a military press anymore. It's something different. And we think we can probably get by just with the snatch and the clean and jerk, which are much easier to judge.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, and this is very important, the military press, when it became the Olympic press with that tremendous back bend, was extremely hard on the lower back.
Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, everybody who lifted during that era, who lifted in that style, kept their chiropractors in business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why it changed. And that's why you're not finding any records.
Yeah, it looks like the last record was 1972. Vasily Alexeyev did a clean and press of 521 pounds. And that was an official record until then there was a clean and jerk of 564 pounds after they apparently stopped doing the clean and press. That was his next move, the clean and jerk for 564 pounds, which is still an amazing amount of weight to put overhead. That's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the record today, or didn't we just have, within the past 5 or 8 years, a new clean and jerk world record from some U.S. lifter? Am I wrong about that?
A big guy with a braided.
What's that?
Yeah, there has not been a world record clean and jerk in the super heavyweight class by an American lifter.
I thought there was a guy that had a beard, a braided beard. They even used him in a commercial for like Apple where he drops the weight and it goes through the floor. But I guess he wasn't a world record holder, maybe. I don't know.
They've had people who were U.S. lifting champions, but they have not had a world record holder in the super heavyweight class from the United States. Now, Alexeyev's record has been broken. I mean, you know, it was set a long time ago. The current record is somewhere around 580 pounds, I believe, but
wow.
I'm not positive. And the magic number that everybody has been chasing for a very long time, at least if you think in pounds, is a 600-pound clean and jerk.
Wow.
And that would be hugely impressive to see that.
Okay, so let's go back to what other readers wrote you in response that you found interesting.
I had a response from Jim D, who said, this is more of a favorite exercise, what's the best developer? But he said, I'd have to go with the trap bar deadlift at age 68. It's still a tremendous exercise that develops me both physically and emotionally. Interesting comment. Plus, I can do it in my garage. 5 sets is all I need. I did 650 pounds yesterday.
That's awesome.
And remember, that's at age 68.
Right.
Stuart W. sent in a very long response. It's too long to read, but basically he said, let's think about this in terms of a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. We all have weak links. So to test our strength, let's find an exercise that uses as many different muscle groups as possible so that you have to have maximum development with no weak links in order to perform competently in that lift. And for that reason, he chose the clean and jerk or the clean and press. I thought that was interesting because I've never seen anybody talk about that in terms of a chain is as strong as its weakest link. That's a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
He also said, this is interesting, he said that one day every 2 weeks as part of his regular training, he does nothing but clean and jerks for 1 hour. Now, that's not continuous for reps with a light weight. That's starting light, warming up, adding weight to the bar, working up to heavy weight, doing a lift, resting, doing a lift, resting, and so on. So over the course of a workout, you may do a total of 15 to 30 clean and jerks. That, he said, was his hardest workout. He said it's much harder than anything else he does. And that was interesting because those are the workouts I do out in the garage all the time. I do an hour of clean and jerk, or I do an hour of snatches, and they're tougher workouts than most people think. A reader named Cliff L, said, probably the answer varies depending on what your goals are, which is a good point. But he said, if I had to pick one lift for strength and power, I would pick the barbell deadlift combined with a 2-dumbbell clean and press. So he liked the idea of testing, and you know, the strength with the deadlift and the power component. He was thinking 2-dumbbell clean and press would be a very good test.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say why, but I think he chose the 2-dumbbell clean and press because it takes some of the form and technique out.
Yes, and also takes some of the lower back issues out because you can get the weights more next to you, if you will. Not completely next to you, but as opposed to being out in front of you and having to clear your chest and your chin as you go into the press, which mm-hmm. is where guys overextend their lower backs quite often. It's that passing the chest and the chin. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll read some more of the listener responses, okay?
Okay.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Physical Culture Radio.
The number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
You know, you've heard about Botox to get rid of wrinkles. Some people are even saying that it works to get rid of headaches. But what about knee pain? Could it be? We're going to find out a little bit later in the show. Right now, my co-host Brooks Cubic is talking about the best way to measure strength and power as our audience sees it, quite frankly. Who else had an interesting angle on this, Brooks?
One of our readers named John G. had something very interesting to say. He chose the clean and press because, in his terms, it had a strength component, and it also had a cardiorespiratory or endurance component. Thus, it measures most attributes of an athlete, specifically strength and strength endurance. And that was interesting. And that reminded me of something that is interesting, which is that back in the day, 1910, 1920, particularly in Europe, a lot of men would work out not at a gym, but at the local saloon. The saloon keeper or tavern keeper would get some barbells and dumbbells in, and the guys would work out and drink, and really what they do is challenge each other, you know, can you lift that? And they would have those old-fashioned solid barbells and solid dumbbells, so you couldn't change the weights around. So you couldn't have one guy lift 60 pounds and the other guy try to lift 65 to beat him. You might have a 60-pound barbell or a 60-pound dumbbell. You were stuck with it. So what they did would have they would do contests for reps. So, you know, they might have a 150-pound solid iron barbell, and the contest was to lifted over your head the most times. So that, you know, that's a little bit similar to what John G noted. And it's, you know, it's an interesting idea, interesting concept. One of our other readers, Jim D, came up with something very good that's been thrown out there at various times. He said power, strength times speed, is measured by the Olympic lifts, and strength is best measured by your total in powerlifting. And you need to use your total because that balances out the mechanical advantages that a lifter may have in any one lift. So what he liked to measure strength and power was the five lift total of the three power lifts, bench press, squat, and deadlift, and the two Olympic lifts, the snatch and the clean and jerk. How about that?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, now the problem is, if you were to do that, you know, people might say, well, why don't we do that in contests? Well, the answer is the contests would take like 3 days. It'd be very, very difficult. But, you know, it's a very interesting idea.
I guess everybody could come up with their own measure of strength and power when they understand the difference between strength and power. A deadlift, perhaps a squat, and a bench press could be a good assessment of power. I'm sorry, strength. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. But the Olympic lifts have to be the ones that you move it. The weight must be in motion, and you must move it fast in order for you to assess your own power.
Well, that's true, and that's one of the reasons that as an older trainee, you need to remember, I can say I'm older because I'm older than you.
Right, and I'm happy with that. So don't
get me wrong. You're younger than me, so I don't want to hear you say you're old.
Right.
but it's very important as you grow older to maintain your speed and your ability to move in an athletic fashion. You don't want to just be strong but kind of be walking around like the Frankenstein monster, which unfortunately is what you see, particularly with people who let their weight get out of control, and unfortunately people who you know, had injuries. But life is movement, and strength is what moves your body. And if you're stronger, you move better. And if you move better, you look and you feel younger. So for me, being able to move in an athletic fashion is very important. And that's one thing that I find very attractive about incorporating weightlifting movements into my workouts. Not necessarily to try to do enormous amounts of weight in the snatch or the clean and jerk, but to have those athletic movement patterns be something that I train on a regular basis. So, you know, I'm very aware of that, and you know, it's something that I try to do and have had good success with. Now, on a somewhat related note, one of our readers, Jeremy M, said, I think the best measure is whatever works best for you and your body structure. Whichever exercise gives you your strongest body. Some people are built for deadlifting, some for squatting, some for bench, some for military press. If you do what fits you and what you enjoy, you will be far stronger than doing the moves that you don't enjoy and are not suited to. Just because someone said X is better doesn't mean that it's better for you. And I thought I would close with that because I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think that's some of the best training advice that you're ever going to hear. And unfortunately, you almost never hear it because everybody is too busy banging their chest and saying, You got to do presses. You got to do bench presses. You got to do squats. You got to powerlift. You got to weightlift. You got to do strongman. You got to do this. You got to do that. You know, and arguing about which is best and trying to impose what they most enjoy and what works best for them on the rest of the world, and not understanding that we're all different and we all need to find the best measures of strength for our own particular bodies, our own needs, and our own goals. And that's just another way of saying there's no one size fits all.
Right. We've talked about this on previous shows.
Dead silence. You disagree.
No, no, I'm agreeing with you. We talked about this on a previous show. We talked about the unique, you know, everybody has to train based on their own personal experience.
Lose you?
No, you can't hear me? Can you not hear me, Brooks? I don't know why you can't hear me, Brooks, but I am talking to you.
Still there?
Yes, I am, Brooks. I'm here. And anyway, we've got to pull the plug on the interview anyway, but I do agree with you 100%. You'll hear me say that in the replay. But we're going to go ahead and take our break. And thanks to Brooks Kubik for this episode of Physical Culture Radio. We'll be right back with more.
From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegish.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Kubik's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksKubik.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Kubik's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Kubik's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksKubik.com right now.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net. internet or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Those who are avid runners or cyclists tend to develop and suffer from knee pain. We all know about Botox and getting rid of wrinkles, and even some research out there that shows that it may be beneficial for certain types of headaches. But what about knee pain? My next guest is Dr. David Urquhart. How you doing, Dr. Urquhart? Dr. Urquhart, can you hear me, sir? Oh, I have no idea what happened here, but we will get him connected again real quick. Somehow he dropped out. Oh, thank you for Skype. We may not have an interview with Dr. Urquhart, it looks like. I had him online a second ago. Dr. Urquhart. Excuse me for clearing my throat. Let me clear my throat. Maybe I need some music in the meantime. From the one to the three, I like the pussy and I like the tree. Smoke so much weed, you wouldn't believe. And I get more ass than a toilet seat. Three to the one, from the one to the three. Three to the one, from the one to the three. Three to the one, from the one to the three. Three to the one, from the one to the three. Three to the one, from the one to the three. I met a bad bitch last night at the key. Let me tell you how I want me to leave the three. Conversation and fantasy. I've been to the motherfucking mountaintop. Heard motherfuckers talk, seen them drop. If I ain't got a weapon, I'm gonna pick up a rock. And when I bust your ass, I'm gonna continue to rock. Gotta have a party. Turn the music, let's get it started. Go and check your body. I'm looking for a girl with a body and a sexy strip. Wanna get it poppin', baby, step right up. They act retarded. Some girls are body, body. I'm looking for a girl that will do whatever the fuck I say every day. She be giving it up. Shake that ass for me. Shake that ass for me. Come on, girl, shake that ass for me. Shake that ass for me. Oh, girl, shake that ass for me. Well, I don't think we have another interview. I had him on hold on Skype, and somehow he disconnected, and I cannot reconnect him. I can't hear anything he says. Answer the call. How about that one? Okay. Can't do this for much longer. So he's not answering the call. And I guess that we're just going to... Oh, it looked like he just answered. Hold on. Try it again. We will get this interview done. Okay. Dr. Urquhart, are you there?
Speaking.
Ah, wonderful. The wonders of technology. Okay. So as that's okay. What I said going into the intro was we've heard about Botox for wrinkles and even in some cases to cope with headaches, certain types of headaches. But this is a new one. Lots of people suffer from knee pain, especially those who are avid runners and avid cyclists.
That's correct.
Talk about this research. What even gave you a clue to examine Botox for this? And what type of specific knee problem is it that it addresses?
Well, so I'm a physiotherapist or physical therapist, as you'd know us in the States. And I've, over the years, have treated hundreds of patients with anterior knee pain. And essentially, from a surgical perspective, there's very little that you can do for a lot of these patients. And often what happens is surgeons will refer them for physio. We'll see them. They don't get better. We send them back to the surgeon, and we just land up in a vicious circle. And one of the factors that became apparent to me when I assessed these patients, and it appeared time and time again, was that they were very tight, particularly in the region of the iliotibial band.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the tissue over the side of the thigh. And what I found that no matter how much these patients would try to target stretches that would lengthen that band, no matter how much we tried to strengthen the correct muscle groups, we just couldn't release the tightness in this tissue. So the idea was to use Botox to try to switch off one of the proximal muscle attachments of this band in an attempt to see if we could lengthen the band, and as it lengthened, what effect that lengthening would have on the patient's knee symptoms.
Now, IT band pain usually occurs right down along the side of the knee. I have it from time to time as well, depending on the type of training that I'm involved in.
Yes.
So what is causing the IT band in the first place to sort of misfire or be contracted or trying to contract all the time that it causes this type of shortening pain?
Well, that's a very good question. I think we think it's one of the theories is that it's become a learnt behavior of the proximal muscle attachment of the iliotibial band. So proximally around the hip, the IT band has two muscle attachments. One is towards the front of the hip, and it's called the tensor fasciae latae. And then the other attachment are the gluteal muscles, which are obviously in at the back of the hip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we think because our lifestyles are more sedentary, in other words, we spend longer sitting than we do standing, the tissue at the front of the hip becomes very, very tight, whereas the tissue at the back, the hip, the gluteal muscles actually become weak, particularly in a position where you are standing upright or when you're trying to extend the hip, in other words, when you're walking or running. The other theory is that the for people who habitually train on treadmills or on bicycles, for example, one of the problems when you're using a treadmill is that as soon as your foot lands on the treadmill, the treadmill actually pulls your leg backwards.
Right, right.
So you're not really driving yourself forward. You're not actively recruiting your gluteal muscles.
Right.
And then the issue on the bike is that, again, particularly if you use cleats, in other words, you use a cycling shoe and you click into the pedal, you land up pulling up on the pedal, so you're using your hip flexors, the muscles at the front.
Mm-hmm.
But when you push down on the pedal, your hip never gets to a neutral position. In other words, it never gets to
fully
a
extended
point in the range when the gluteal muscles should be active.
Is there any evidence that where the nerves exit the lumbar spine could also play a role in this type of dysfunction?
They could. Obviously, in our study, we selected our patients very, very carefully. We made sure that they didn't have any contributing factors from their lumbar spine, which could have altered our data, basically. But yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, pain that goes down the leg could originate in the lumbar spine, and it's important to differentiate where the source of the pain is coming from.
Okay. All right, so now discuss the actual study itself. So you took – how many of these patients did you take for this?
We had 43 patients. Essentially, they – so when we're talking about anterior knee pain, you know, that covers a vast array of potential causes. There could be a vast number of causes of that pain. We were quite selective in the sense that these patients – had to have MRI-proven symptoms of inflammation either within what we call the supralateral fat pad, which is a structure just towards the outside of the knee and below the patella tendon, or over the side of the knee. So they had to have inflammation in those two regions. They had to have failed physiotherapy, so they had to have not had any sort of surgical intervention up until that point. So we had to be able to reproduce their symptoms using a test called what we've called the modified Ober's test. And if they met all those criteria, then they were deemed acceptable for the study.
Okay, so those that were accepted into the study then received what type of a therapy?
Well, they would then have gone on to have a Botox injection into the tensor fasciae latae muscle. This was given under ultrasound guidance, so it makes sure we get the Botox into the correct muscle
mm-hmm,
group.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rehabilitation would have been focused on trying to lengthen the iliotibial band whilst also strengthening their gluteal muscles. And that would have progressed from, for example, could they isolate or do an isometric gluteal contraction just in lying to gradually progressing and building up to do a lot more functional based exercises.
And how long did it take for the Botox to take effect? It takes a few days and up to a couple weeks, doesn't it?
It can take longer than that, actually. So typically what we found as the study progressed, less than 5% of people would respond within the first week. But the early responders tended to do exceptionally well. So some patients in the first week would come back and say, I can feel it working. I can feel my symptoms improving. And their results at the end of the study would have been the best. Typically, though, it would take between 4 to 8 weeks before the patients would report an improvement to their symptoms. And the Botox is active for a total of 12 weeks or 3 months.
Right.
So we would collect data at 12 weeks to try and calculate the benefit that the patient had experienced from the injection.
Was the Botox administered in a single injection, or was it a few injections in order to get it into different areas of the target?
No, that's the beauty of this. It's one injection into the tensor fascia latae muscle. So, you know, it's very straightforward from a patient perspective. They walk in, they walk out. There are no adverse side effects, other than some patients would report an odd sort of ache within the thigh. But that would be gone within the first week.
The reason I asked about multiple injection sites is because a friend of the show, Dr. Bill Seeds, who's an orthopedic surgeon, said he's aware of this research, but he's also aware of what's known as dry needling.
Yes.
To achieve some of this same. So is dry needling multiple kind of injections in order to come on, almost like a mesotherapy where you're trying to deploy the healing and growth factors to this soft tissue to repair something?
Yeah, to my knowledge, dry needling is typically used for tendons. So, in the knee, the tendinopathy that everyone would know is patellotendinopathy.
Right, right.
And that's typically when you would use, certainly in the UK, that's when you would use dry needling.
Okay.
I'm not aware of dry needling having been used for fat pad impingement.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want you to talk about the results. How many people experienced benefits from this and what the benefits were?
No.
We're talking with Dr. David Urquhart. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
HempDotCom sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes.
Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics to today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. David Urquhart. Dr. Urquhart, mention the institution that you're affiliated with, please.
So the study was conducted at the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital and the Fortius Clinic, as well as with Imperial College, which is a university in London.
Okay. So now, of the 40-somewhat individuals that were selected for this trial, what did you discover?
So I think the most important finding was that 5 years after having had the Botox injection, 70% of the patients continued to report an improvement in their symptoms, and most of those patients had returned to pre-symptom activity levels. Typically, when you look at other studies revolving around anterior knee pain, a lot of those patients will never get back to their pre-existing activity levels because they have such trouble treating these symptoms.
Really? That's sad. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is very, very sad. It's quite debilitating, actually.
So if you approach this type of an injury from the standpoint of reducing the innervation from the nerves to this muscle to keep it from firing, so to speak, this seems to remedy the problem. But does that impair someone who, I mean, I depend on my IT bands when I'm squatting heavy. I know that. And so what happens when you want to activate this muscle, rightfully so, for a sport or even just day-to-day life? Does the muscle no longer respond? Or once the Botox wears off, there have been changes that stick around, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the amazing things that we found with this is that, and we have used the Botox in professional sportsmen, is that they haven't noticed any change to their functional performance. So it hasn't translated into any weakness, or it doesn't impair their ability whatsoever, which is one of the very exciting things about the Botox. For future research, we need to understand what exactly do we use the iliotibial band for. I think what this has shown us is that it seems as if the iliotibial band is superless to requirements. We don't really need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to, you know, taking it out of action doesn't seem to have any adverse effect on the individual.
In all due respect, I find that hard to believe that, you know, we've evolved to have this there for a reason, and all of a sudden we can take it out and it doesn't have any effect.
We feel exactly the same way, trust me.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only hypothesize that the imbalance that was present pre the Botox and which is corrected by having the Botox negates the need for the iliotibial band,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Yeah.
But that's going to be for future research.
And really, obviously the body supercompensates. I mean, we know from research and from real life events, and myself, I mean, I tore two attachments off of my left hamstring, the bicep femoris and semitendinous, deadlifting one day.
Yeah.
And I did not go for the surgery, and I'm back in the gym deadlifting and squatting as heavy as I ever was.
Sure.
And so clearly the body, it works around somehow, these things. So I can see, you know, if that particular muscle, the IT band is triggering, it's overfiring, misfiring, and you correct that, it's still there. It's still in place. It still provides some, strength. Just by its presence. I mean, if there was no muscle, if it was just a soft tissue connection from one end to the other, it would provide something, right?
That's correct. No, absolutely. Yeah. Talking a little bit beyond just what we've achieved with this study. So some of the patients who responded to the Botox, so this would be beyond some of our study findings,
mm-hmm.
but they would respond initially during that 3-month period when the Botox was active. But after the Botox stopped being active, they would have a recurrence of their symptoms. Some of those patients went on to have a surgical lengthening of the iliotibial band, which is a very small, simple surgical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of those patients who again responded but didn't quite get back to the level of performance that they wanted to, they actually had their iliotibial band resected. So it was literally cut in two. And again,
in other words, it's completely deactivated. Just
completely deactivated. And, you know, none of those patients have reported a loss of any kind of functional ability. Now, again,
were they high level athletes, any of them?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But you know they were still active individuals and had a very good awareness of their body. So, I mean, again, you know, it's a very small number of people, and we would need to extend that population.
You know, I'm thinking about the IT band and the kinesiology of the leg, and maybe the IT band was left over after we became bipeds and the actual geometry of our hips changed from our legs going out to the side to being able to move forward. Maybe the IT band was left over from when we ran more like chimpanzees, you know?
Exactly. That's certainly the thinking. I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. That's very, very interesting. So will we see Botox for treatment of these types of because there's other issues like this, whether they start in the where the nerves exit the spinal cord in the case of compression, spinal compression, and or even stenosis. We know that some of the symptoms, aside from things like radiculopathy, are these muscles tend to fire, misfire, cramping, and so on. Can we see a more localized approach to treating these problems as opposed to going into the spine and doing all this potentially, obviously invasive, but potentially harmful? A lot of people come out of those surgeries and don't work well just by injecting some Botox in some of the muscles that just won't cooperate anymore?
Absolutely, and it is used quite widely by pain specialists. So they will target overactive muscles, whether it be through stress or chronic painful conditions. The interesting thing, though, is that those patients will often need to go back for repetitive injections, whereas our study has shown that that isn't necessarily the case. Some patients end up having two or three injections, but that's often sufficient for them, and the long-term follow-up suggests that they don't need any further injections.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I suffer from that IT band pain you talk of that is on the outside of my knee, upper outside of my knee, from time to time. It comes and goes with my style of training. But clearly, I mean, if I could get rid of it forever and not compromise my ability to train, or, a couple injections over a period of time, and then without the Botox, maybe the muscle lengthens on its own or something like that, I would do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, the whole process is pain-free, to coin a phrase. You kind of think, well, why weren't we doing this ages ago, really?
Well, we got to test it first, right? This is obviously
exactly.
This is considered off-label use for Botox until somebody does some sort of clinical trial like this, and then it becomes proven to be safe and obviously. But no, this is really great information. I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show.
No problem. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.
All right. So that's actually the end of today's show. We have nothing else to talk about. Now, we will not be on the air tomorrow because I will be heading to Columbus, Ohio. Those of you who are going to be at the Arnold, if you want to try to meet up, message me on Facebook, and we will try to accommodate as many people as we can to say hello to Elisa and I. We would love to meet those of you who have made this show a historic radio show, quite frankly, in our 11th year. Thanks to all of you. I mean, I have nothing to do if you guys don't listen. And so this show actually was created and maintained by you guys, giving me an opportunity to show up every day and do the show. So if you're going to be in Columbus, Ohio, please message me on Facebook, and we will figure out a way to meet everybody who wants to meet up. But that's it. Also, don't forget, thanks to Brooks Kubik for the first hour. Physical Culture Radio Hour. Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com, and of course Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour, Science for Humans, How to Build Massive Forearms and calves. Had to think about that for a second. You can get in touch with Dr. Jeff by going to superhumanradio.com, bottom right hand side, ask the scientist, click the banner ad, say hello, ask him a question, ask him for samples. He is known as Supplement Santa around Facebook. You can find out why. And we'll talk to everybody soon. Thank you for listening today.
Have you been on superhumanradio.com lately?